Today on Older and Wiser.
Who's more likely to believe the world is flat? Older people or younger? You may be surprised.
Did you know surgeons play music while you're under the knife? It's true. We'll reveal the kind they like the best.
We'll tell you why many people are afraid of drones, plus the kind of bread people love the most.
Yeah, you're listening to Older and Wiser. Hey folks, welcome to Older and Wiser. I'm Bob Bates, along with Susan Sikora, up in the San Francisco Bay Area. And as always, we're digging around through public opinion surveys, and one of these just completely baffles me. Here's the headline. Only 66% of young people fully accept that the Earth is round.
Why, this stunning.
It may not be quite as dire as it sounds. YouGov does surveys, and they did this survey of 8,215 U.S. adults, and only 84% of those adults say they have always believed that the world is round.
Where do they think you go if the world is flat? Where do they think you go to fall off? I would like to know.
I know.
Where is that place?
Really, only 2% of those surveyed say they've always believed that the world is flat. But there's this little in-between section of people who aren't quite sure.
And how old are those people?
These are these 18 to 24-year-olds.
I don't get it.
It sounds like they got on board with these stories they saw on Facebook or somewhere and began to wonder if, in fact, the world could be flat.
But I always wonder, Bob, what's their alternative argument? You go to, you know, you can't go beyond the Atlantic Ocean, or you can't, I mean, you know, the people in Britain are more likely to fall off than the people in Kansas. I don't know.
Like, what's underneath? Do they wonder, like, what, you know, if we're all living on the top of the flat pancake, what's underneath the pancake? Doesn't somebody want to go?
Where do we fall? That's what I know. Do we fall into the universe, into space? I just don't see where they could just say, well, I don't believe it. I think it's flat. And then what's the next part? I never get this.
According to this, people earning $80,000 a year are more likely to accept the correct shape of the Earth than those earning $40,000 to $80,000 or under $40,000. So what does that mean? People who make more money are more likely to believe that the Earth is round.
And what's the connection if it's not
education? Perhaps?
But
it has to be something in which people are buying into something they saw in social media. That's,
you know what I think it is? I think it's a movement by people who want to sell globes, except they're not going to sell globes anymore to classrooms or people with libraries with fancy ones and all that. And they say, here, you need the new one. And this is flat. Now it's like a chessboard. You can play chess on
it.
The world. I don't get it.
I love it. So it's you're thinking it's some sort of a scheme to sell maps.
Well, I'm waiting for the product. You know, when I see the product on one of the home shopping channels or something, I will say, aha, that's who started this.
It does make you worry just a little bit. But the good news is 98% of people are willing to accept that it's very possible that the world is in fact round, which is good to know. Okay, moving on. Our next topic, here's the headline. Surgeons love to blast rock music while they're operating on you. Did you know that?
Well, I know you can have music in surgery. And when I had some surgery a while back, I took my CD in and it was playing, during my procedure.
But you're asleep.
I heard it in the beginning when I got in there. It was my music playing. I trust that it was still my music throughout. I mean, I was out, obviously, for the procedure.
You don't think they changed the station or anything while you were under?
No, it wasn't a station.
Your Barry Manilow? Because I'm sure they changed the station.
No, it was actually, I think it was either Bob James or Amal Jamad.
Yeah, they changed the station.
Yeah.
Yeah, while you were under. This recent survey, which was conducted by the music streaming service Spotify, indicates that they asked 700 surgeons in 70 and 50 different countries, you know, whether or not they play music while they're doing surgery. And 90% said, yeah, they play music. I get it.
And that, well, I'll tell you what. If they played now, if they played my music when I walked in, it did relax me a bit. I mean, I was still going into surgery, so it was like, you know.
You've got all the drugs in your veins. What do you need to be relaxed for? You're already good.
That's true, but you're still thinking, you know, here I am. I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean,
now, did your doctor suggest you bring the music, or was this your idea?
I think it was suggested. So, you know, interesting. I mean, I do live in Northern California.
Yeah, yeah, so, they're
and
very...
And it was two different procedures, I remember, and that's why I was thinking of the two artists. I think it was Bob James for one and Ahmad Jamal for the other. But I have to say, when I walked in or when I got into the room, in fact, I walked in for the second procedure, I believe, and it was fine, and I could hear that, and it was nice because it was familiar. Once I'm out... even though hearing is, I don't know how much hearing is. They say hearing is the last to go when you're dying. I don't know if that's the same as true when you're under anesthesia.
Yeah.
But if it is and you hear it, then it might bother you or not, because at that point the heavy drugs are in and you're out of it. On the other hand, if I don't hear it, once the surgeon changes it to the station of his or her choice, fine with me.
You don't care at that point.
Home and thinking, and it's clear. If they're starting to sing along and they can't remember the words and they're clutching at that, get your mind back on what you're doing at me, yeah. So we get me in and out and done.
I don't think you want anything too catchy. I don't want the surgeon like tapping his fingers while he's trying to do open heart surgery or something.
I think his or her hands are busy.
For me, I guess I'm a little surprised that rock music is their favorite, though. But 49%.
I think it would depend on the age of the surgeon, because a lot of people, let's say baby boomers, if you have a surgeon who's in his or her 60s or 70s, I wouldn't be surprised to hear the Beach Boys or something like that, or Mamas and Papas playing as I walked in. So I don't know.
Well, I guess we got to remember, too, that for us, when you're being operated on, this is a very serious, serious situation. But for a doctor and all the nurses, this is something they do every day. It's like going
all
to the office.
Days. You know, I don't know. I would like the surgeon relaxed enough to do his or her best work and bring the best game to what they're doing that day for me. So if that music will relax them, fine. If it's annoying to me, wait until I'm out and then blast it all you want.
Okay. Our next survey comes from Fordham Technologies. And they did a little survey to try to find out what people really think about drones.
Hmm.
I am bugged by drones, first of all.
I'm concerned.
I don't like it. I do not like it. I don't know why. One of the things is, I don't know if you have drones going over your neighborhood. I live in a fairly urban area. I'm near a freeway. I'm near Universal Studios. I've got, you know, a lot of people around. And we have drones go over periodically.
Uh-huh.
First of all, they're noisy. They go bzzz. They've got a kind of an insect-like sound, like a loud buzzing bug.
Okay.
And who knows what they're looking at? I feel like
You
don't have the right to look down on me with your frickin' drone camera. It's
right.
You know.
I think the privacy is. I think you know. I'm sure they can probably figure out not to bang into another drone, and then you know you have the mess fall on your roof or something. But I mean, that's one consideration. I'm sure most people are going to think that's maybe either already solved or about to be solved or can be solved. But I do think the privacy thing is huge, because if it's got a camera up there, how am I going to know? And then what are you going to do with it? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if you know my address, you know where I live. I mean, most people probably are not in their backyards or someplace in their living space nude sunbathing.
Yeah, I'm not back there doing that. That's for darn sure.
You give up more and more privacy. After a while, we just say, well, you know, there's none left, and throw up our hands. And I think these are becoming issues that technology is facing now, and they have to. It's one of these things. You know what's going to change it? A couple of lawsuits. And if somebody wins, they'll go, okay, time out.
Here's what I think will change it. I think a terrorist attack using drones will change it. We don't have regulations in place or any technology in place for the police to quickly be able to scramble the signal on these things and keep them out of a certain area. You can say that to go over, you know, a football stadium during the Super Bowl, that's a no-fly zone, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in your minivan out at the edge of the parking lot, you can still do it. I mean, by the time they get you, you could have flown your drone right over the football field and, you know, dropped God knows what on the people in the stands.
Also, I'm wondering, drones are available for people to buy, correct?
Yeah, in the store.
Okay. So how do I know that if you go in and buy a drone, that you know how to operate it correctly and safely?
Exactly.
You may not even be into, you know, finding out or invading my privacy or anything. You just have some money and you want to play.
Apparently,
and
there's
you get it out there, next thing you know, it you know, is a problem.
I guess there's a 13-year-old age requirement to register a drone, but I think that's too young, as do 70% of the respondents to this survey. It's 13-year-old kids will do anything, right?
And age is not necessarily a factor in smarts. Witness your first topic, which the world is flat.
Also, if you're out to do bad things, are you going to register your drone? No.
No.
You're just going to buy the darn thing and take it home and never register it. And then
this could end up almost being not quite the same, but tag along the, like, it could be the new gun ownership.
It could be.
You know, I don't know. I think some of this technology is moving so fast, we haven't thought through what happens if something goes wrong. We're just going, hey, we can do it. And isn't this cool? Yes, it's cool. Yes, you can do it. But if something goes wrong, does it hurt somebody? Mm-hmm. And then what happens? I mean, I see where people go, oh, I want to get my book from Amazon delivered by tomorrow. And if a drone can do it and drop it here, then I have it immediately and all that. You know, you lived without it up until now.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you really need it, find it at a bookstore.
I don't want honestly.
Right there, do the low tech thing. You'll have the book in your hands probably by the end of the day if you find it. I mean, there's a chance that you won't, but probably it's more likely you will. So.
And we don't need all that buzzing, all that noise.
No.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Then somebody will have to come up with a way to keep them quiet, and then, you know, this goes on.
All right. Let's move on to our final topic today. I love this one. This survey shows what Americans really think about bread. I love bread.
I do too.
Every kind of bread. I don't think there's a bread I don't like.
The one I like the best?
Yeah.
The one right out of the oven.
Ooh, yeah, that's the best.
I try not to eat white bread. I eat whole grains, but I do like white bread, and especially when it's right out of the oven.
Well, let's break it down into categories. Now, the survey shows that of sliced breads, 43% said white was their second choice, multigrain their third, honey wheat their fourth. Guess what the number one choice of sliced bread is?
I don't know.
Whole wheat.
Oh, see? It's tastier.
Mm-hmm. It's got flavor to it.
It does. It's tastier.
How about rye? Do you like rye bread?
I do like rye bread.
Baby boomers.
Especially right out of a bakery again. You know?
Baby boomers like rye bread, but most of the younger folks don't care much for rye bread. Interesting, huh?
Well, I think you have to have it on the right sandwich.
Is it old school to have rye bread?
No, I just think maybe they haven't tried it. I mean, rye, I think rye is a little bit out of favor because I'm not sure it qualifies as a whole grain. I could be wrong on that. I never know. I don't know.
But it's darker color and it's got more flavor to it. It's got a definite flavor to it, which a lot of white breads are just not so flavorful.
Right. I mean, white bread isn't bad, but it's a little boring, frankly. I mean, to go get a loaf of sliced white bread off the shelf like, you know, our mothers did years ago in the 50s and 60s, forget it. That would not be my first choice to spend on bread. I wouldn't necessarily turn it down if there was a sandwich on it, but I do like the bread that I slice by myself because it's a big piece and then I can
slice it. It's nice and fresh where you cut it.
Absolutely.
Let's talk muffins. 27% of respondents opted for whole wheat. 26 went for cinnamon. 21 multigrain. And 17% chose blueberry.
I find muffins to be a lot of work.
You know, I like the top part. you know, yes, the muffin the top.
Remember the tops? Remember on the Seinfeld
show? Yeah, on the Seinfeld show.
And what's it, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Elaine said, oh, you should do just the tops because yeah. everything else underneath was kind of a boring.
It is boring.
You know,
she was absolutely right about that. The bottom part just crumbles and makes a mess, and you've always got a few crumbs on the table after you had a muffin.
Yeah, but let's face it, blueberry, the cinnamon, all that is tasty, but it's also usually got sugar. And is it a muffin? Is it, people used to say, oh, this is a healthy muffin. I'm not sure. You might just go right next to the next thing is a piece of cake, and it's not a big leap.
Now let's talk about bagels. I love bagels. 55% of those who responded to the survey said they like to eat them a bagel open. In other words, cut it in half, put whatever you're going to put on it, and eat it open. 45% said they like to close it up like a sandwich and put whatever they're going to have in the middle. What do you do?
I try to eat only half a bagel at a time if I get a full-size bagel.
So you're open-faced.
I'm open-faced, lightly toasted, and this morning I actually had one. Half a bagel, lightly toasted, and on top, instead of butter or peanut butter or hummus or anything, and all those things are really good, and I've used those in the past, I put a fresh half of an avocado.
Ooh, that's good. That's very good.
I've done tomato,
What type of bagel would be your favorite if you were at a place where you could order anything like right now? What would you do?
If I were in a bagel shop, if it was warm out of the oven, that would be first. But pumpernickel bagels I like. They're hard to find. They're harder to find. Let's put it that way. They're not as common. I do like pumpernickel because it's tastier.
I would go for salt.
And whole grain, too.
Have you ever had a salt bagel?
I have. And,
it's a heart attack, to be sure.
Well, but yeah. And
it makes your heart race, you know, when you eat it. But I love a salt bagel.
It's good. My taste buds are kind of distracted by too much salt at that point.
Have you ever had an everything bagel? Everything bagel?
I think so, yes.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in it.
I think it's a lot of grains. And
everything's in there.
Stuff, you know.
They're good.
But then you don't want things stuck in your teeth, you know.
Okay, one last question about bread before we go. If you had something you could put on your bagel, what would it be? Number one.
Well, I do like that fresh avocado thing going.
Avocado. I would put cream cheese.
Yeah.
If you have sliced bread, what would be the thing you'd put on it?
Peanut butter and jelly, but the peanut butter has to be freshly ground peanuts.
64% said cold cuts, 51% said peanut butter. And what about pita bread? What would you do with that?
Oh, pita bread. Wow. Boy, I think I'd put some kind of veggie thing in there.
Yeah, like a salad.
Like some veggies. Yeah, it's almost like spinach and a little feta cheese. And I think that would be, you know, I think you could put almost anything in a pita. I also like the flatbreads. And what I do with that sometimes is I take a small, like a chicken tomato sausage, and, you watch the ingredients, and I'll grill it for a little bit in the toaster oven. And in the meantime, I get the flatbread. I put some mustard on it. I now even sprinkle a few lettuce leaves or spinach leaves fresh, and then I put the thing on there, roll it up.
Suddenly I'm hungry.
We might
have to finish now so I can go make some food. All right, well, that will do it for us for another edition of Older and Wiser, and we are glad you could join us.
And you can find all the stories we discussed today at olderandwiser.com. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.